الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أنبياء الله جميعا وعلى سيدهم وخاتمهم حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين وأصحابه المنتجبين ومن تبعهم بإحسان وإيمان إلى يوم الدين. قال تعالى في كتابه الكريم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولا تكونوا كالذين تفرقوا واختلفوا من بعد ما جاءهم البينات وأولئك لهم عذاب عظيم. صدق الله العلي العظيم. Tonight I'd like to discuss an important subject that touches the life and the heart and the future of every Muslim. And that is the Sunni Shia unity and understanding. Is the Sunni Shia unity, is it feasible? Is it accomplishable? Is it a reality? Or it's a myth? Can we really accomplish this goal? Can we bring two different traditions, two important traditions together or not? Now we see that there are many agencies and governments allocating huge resources to fuel the sectarian tension and the sectarian war between the Sunnis and the Shias. And this war is going to be devastating for both. Both of them are going to lose. When this war between the Shia and the Sunnis continue, both of them are going to lose. And this war is not based on aqidah or doctrine. This tension between the Shia and Sunni is mostly political. Mostly political. And it has been exploited and manipulated by certain governments and entities and agencies. And they have one goal. They have one goal. And the goal is to hurt both the Sunnis and the Shias. Now, when we say unity, what do we mean by unity? Unity has two meanings. Do we mean the first meaning or the second meaning? I'm going to speak about the first meaning and the second meaning. The first meaning, if unity means that we're going to completely eliminate the differences between Shia Islam and Sunni Islam, and we try to unify our doctrines and our aqidah and unify our practices, we make it exactly one, similar, then this is not possible. And this is not practical. And this is not what we mean by wahda or unity. Because this thing would not happen. It's impossible. No leader today can bring the Shias and Sunnis together and say, listen, you have to have one form of prayers, one form of fasting, one form of belief, one form of doctrine. You can't do that. It will happen by a miracle. Only miracle takes a miracle from God. When the last Imam, Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salatu wasalam, returns, he's going to unify the Muslims. At that time, we don't see any differences. We don't see one group praying this way, the other group praying that way. There will be one prayers, one fasting, one hajj, one zakat, one goal. But now, these things would not happen now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran that I could have made you one group. I could have made you one tradition, one school of thought, one belief, one aqidah, but I didn't do that. He says this in Surah Hud, in Surah Al-Ma'idah, in Surah Hud, Allah says, وَلَوْ شَاءَ رَبُّكَ لَجَعَلَ النَّاسَ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً وَلَا يَزَالُونَ مُخْتَلِفِينَ وَلَا يَزَالُونَ It means they would remain, they will keep differing from each other for a long time. For the time that he decides that this difference has to stop and come to an end. Before that, we cannot accomplish unity in deeds, unity in practices, unity in opinion. We cannot do that. It's not possible. In Surah Al-Ma'idah, Allah says, وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَجَعَلَكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً. He could have made you one madhab, one religion, one doctrine, but he didn't do that. وَلَا يَزَالُونَ. It means they will remain differing until the moment that God says, enough is enough. No more differences from today. That time, it's not now. It will happen in the future. When? We don't know. We cannot predict 6 months from now, or 2 years from now, or 20 years from now, or 200 years from now. We really don't know. It depends on God's will. And when people are not following, one aqidah has also advantages, my friends. It has advantages. It's not always negative. Diversity is not negative. Difference of opinion is not always negative. I tell you why. Number one, because it's the nature of humans to differ. It's in our system, in our programming. And that would never end unless we are reprogrammed. And this is why we believe when the Imam comes, Al-Imam Al-Mahdi, يَمْسَحُ بِيَدِهِ عَلَى رُؤُوسِ أَصْحَابِهِ فَتَكْتَمِلُ عُقُولَهُمْ. He will wipe his hand on his followers' heads, so their programming is going to be perfected. They're going to be reprogrammed. And when we are reprogrammed, then there is no room for differences. No room for conflict. Now, the brain is not mature enough. The experience is not mature enough. The reason that we have is not mature enough to stand together. That will happen at the end of the time. This is one reason why people are differing. The second reason why differences are healthy, so people can strive to find the truth. Because if you are born, and God says you are born in this path, in this family, in this madhab, and this is the most perfect path, then there will be no reason for you to go and investigate, to go and read, to go and discover. You're going to take Islam for granted. Because you know, this is my path. Whatever my mother and my dad taught me is correct. Why should I go and read? Why should I waste my time investigating and comparing this religion to that religion? We will take Islam for granted. And Allah says, no, I don't want you to take Islam for granted. God says on the Day of Judgment, I want you, if you succeed, I want you to know why you are successful. And if you fail, I want you to know why you failed. This is in Surah Al-Anfal. لِيَحْلَكَ مَنْ هَلَكَ عَنْ بَيِّنَةٍ وَيَحْيَى مَنْ حَيَّ عَنْ بَيِّنَةٍ. Those who perish, they know they perish with reason. They know the reason why they perished. And those who succeeded also know why they did succeed. Both of them. God wants us to know. If you follow this madhab, if you follow this religion, God wants you to know the reason. If you say, I don't know the reason, I am born in this family, this is not good enough for you to pass. They would not allow you to pass. They say, because you don't know the reason. God gave us intelligence and He's going to evaluate us and reward us according to our intelligence, according to how much you use and you tap into your intelligence. If you don't use your intelligence, you are not going to get the good grades. You don't get good grades, let alone you receive salvation. You have to use your intelligence and your reason to know why, to provide the answer why I have chosen this. You have to say why. So differences sometimes are good in this sense, good. So it allows us to go and investigate and then choose what is best. لِيَهْلَكَ مَنْ هَلَكَ عَنْ بَيِّنَةٍ وَيَحْيَى مَنْ حَيَّ عَنْ بَيِّنَةٍ. So if we mean by Shia Sunni unity that we eliminate all the differences and we ask all the 1.5 billion people to pray the same way and to have the same opinion, that would never happen. Only it happens at the time of the Imam, the last Imam. And that it happens because of a miracle, not natural means, miracle. The interference of miracle. But if we mean by wahda and unity, if we mean that we stay away from the conflicts, from the tension, from the fighting, from sectarianism, yes, this is the meaning of unity. The meaning of unity, some people think when we say united, we are united, we don't have differences. No, this is wrong. You must have differences. But you don't bring these differences into war, into conflict. You don't. You don't escalate these differences into conflict, into fightings. You bring them to negotiate, to discuss with each other, to have a dialogue, but not to have fighting. That is the meaning of unity. The meaning of unity is to tolerate each other, to understand each other. The Shias has to understand the Sunnis, where they come from, and they, the Sunnis, have to understand the Shia, where they come from. And they have to have tolerance and respect for them. Unity means we have to be more careful in expressing our views, in presenting our views and our opinions and our aqidah. We have to be more sensitive to others. Even if we, at the same time, that we are proud of our aqidah, that we have to be more sensitive to others. You don't have to put others down in order for you to promote your opinion. You don't have to do that. You can promote yourself and your religion and your faith without necessarily putting others down. Why we should have unity? Because we face same challenges today in America. Not just in America. Shias and Sunnis, whether they live in America or Europe or the Middle East or Africa or India, they have the same fate and they face the same challenges, and therefore they must have the same priorities. These sectarian killings, believe me, sectarian killings between Shias and Sunnis, they would neither help Shias nor help Sunnis. No one is going to be victorious. Both of them are going to lose. The only victorious is their enemies, their common enemies. We do have common enemies. We have an enemy who never distinguished between Shia and Sunni. As long as you are Muslim, you are bad. You are bad. He doesn't care whether you pray this direction or that direction. Whether you put your hand here or there or down, he doesn't care. You are a bad person. So no one is going to win because of sectarianism. Both are going to lose. Sunnis, they lose, and Shias lose. Both of them, they lose. And not only we lose land and property and buildings and territory, we lose religion. You know, as a result of sectarianism, how many Muslims, young ones, old ones, they left religion because of their disappointment and their frustration with their religion, with their imams, with their leaders, with their masajid, with their Muslim communities. So not only the territory is at stake, religion is at stake. People leave religion, they get disappointed. People say, religion that brings me bombs and killing and blood, I don't like this religion, I don't even believe in this religion, I don't want to follow this religion, leave me alone, leave me alone. Many people became atheists. When they saw the killing between Muslims killing each other, they left religion, they converted to atheism. This is the danger. This is the real danger. Now, what should we do? I have 5 points here, and I want you to listen to me. Whether you are Sunni or Shia, you have to listen to these 5 points. One of the goals of the month of Ramadan is to foster this unity. So I have 5 points. How do we put an end to sectarian tension? There is sectarian tension. We cannot deny this. There is sectarian tension. And sometimes this tension is found not in one mosque or one neighborhood, in one family, because the father is Sunni, the mother is Shia, or they are, you know, or vice versa. And then they have tension. Rather than loving each other and helping each other, they keep fighting. Because the Shia, he listens to one crazy sheikh, the Sunni listen to another crazy sheikh, they come home, and then they present these opinions and these views, and they start fighting. And I have seen in America, in this state of California, divorces that took place because of the sectarian tension. Do you know that? It happened in this country. So point number one, what are the steps? I have 5 steps. Step number one, we must foster bonds of a brotherhood and sisterhood and a friendship. We must visit each other. We must recognize each other. We must respect each other. We must promote respect and tolerance for each other. We should be champions of brotherhood and sisterhood in our communities. We should reach out to each other in order for us to understand each other. لِتَعَارَفُ Because jahl and ignorance is enemy number one. Enemy number one. People, when they don't know each other, they start fighting. They start having suspicion about each other. But once they get to know each other, they visit each other, they go to each other's homes, they dialogue, they speak, they find out, this is my deen, this is my deen, this is my madhab, then they, after that, they will tolerate each other. They try to accommodate each other. So, number one, we have to foster. This is a duty. We, you, the Shia, have to reach out to the Sunnis, visit them, respect them, invite them, and the Sunnis, they must do the same. And it shouldn't be from one side. From one side, it does not work. No, it would fail. One side give concessions to the other, and the other side is arrogant, that does not work. Both sides have to be humble, and they have to visit each other, and respect each other, and acknowledge each other. Acknowledge the legitimacy of each other. So this is point number one. And point number two, we should not, when we have discussion about each other, we should not scorn each other, or ridicule each other, or deride each other. We should try to understand each other. If I don't like something about what the Sunni is doing, it's up to them. This is their business. I should not scorn them. I should try to understand them. If they don't like what I am doing, what I am saying, they should not scorn me or ridicule me or put me down or tell me you are a liar, you are non-Muslim. This is not right. They should have understanding and tolerance for us. Because scorning them, or you, they scorn you, or the policy, the strategy of takfir, which is very easy today in certain societies. In some societies, with the least disagreement, you are immediately, you are non-Muslim, you are non-believer. They label you as being non-Muslim. With the least disagreement, that has to stop. This is wrong. This is wrong, and this stem from bigotry. From bigotry. This is one type of bigotry. We have different types of racism and bigotry. One of them, when I don't like the race, this is racism. I don't like the culture. I don't like the language. I don't like the color. This is bigotry. This is bias. And one time when I don't like the faith, I don't like his faith, I don't like his religious tradition, this is again bigotry, ta'assub, and bias. This should stop. Point number three. We the Shia, the follower of Ahlul Bayt, we have a duty of being very careful when we speak about the companions of the Prophet and the wives of the Prophet. I don't like when I hear in some masajid, in some communities, they do la'an, cursing. You have no right. You have no right to do that, even if you disagree. Even if you disagree with this personality, with this leader, with this sahaba, you don't have the right to curse him. Because this sahaba is being respected by many millions. And when you curse the sahaba, as if you are cursing the entire community. We have to be very careful. And this is why at this center, since we started this center, which is a true center of Ahlul Bayt, have you heard one day we curse here, we say, La'anallah fulan, la'anallah fulan. I don't do that. I never did that. Sometimes we state the facts. You state the facts, historic facts. But la'an has no room because this is the teaching of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Inni akrahu lakum an takunu sabbabin. I hate for you to be cursors. In some countries, la'an, 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 death, 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 death. They get to nowhere, believe me. They get to nowhere. They're going to lose the young generation. They're going to lose the intellectual. This is a disease. Yes, we differ, it's okay. But to curse, it's not okay. Inni akrahu lakum. This is the message of Amir al-Mu'mineen. I don't like for my followers to curse. Even if you differ, even if you hate that person, you don't have the right in public to go and curse. So don't curse. Be polite. These are manners and adab. We learn them in the month of Ramadan. This is the benefit of Ramadan, that we change. We came here to learn and change. So this is my message to my fellow Shias. My message to my fellow Sunnis is that please do not listen to rumors and fabrications and lies against the Shia. When someone tells you Shia do not pray, Shia worship Ali, Shia have a different Quran, Shia do not, you know, do this and don't listen to these rumors and fabrications and lies. If you want to know about Shia, there are Shia centers, there are Shia books, there are Shia scholars. Go to them, reach out to them. Tell me your story. What's the difference between Shia and Sunni? Give me a book, give me an article, give me a lecture. I want to know the difference. But don't listen to rumors. Rumors that's spreading in social media and other means, don't listen to them. Most of them are lies and fabrications. When you follow it, when you investigate, you don't find any roots in it. You don't find it. It's baseless. So don't follow the rumors and the fabrications. Listen to ulama who are open-minded. And if you see some foolish sheikh or sayyid on television who is hallucinating and cursing the sahaba and cursing the sunnis, don't listen. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your energy. Allah is going to hold you accountable for what you see and what you hear. Shut that channel down. Shut it down. This is the voice of the shaitan. This is not the voice of the Rahman. And no one is allowed to help these channels because these channels fuel sectarianism. They fuel hate between the Muslims. The result of these channels are killings and murders in Pakistan, Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria, here and there. Whether it comes from the Sunni side or the Shia side. Whether the one who is sitting there is someone secular or someone who calls himself Ayatollah. Those are Junud Iblis. The soldiers of Iblis. Do not listen to them. Listen to those who are open-minded. Those who do not have bigotry. Those who are concerned about the welfare of the ummah, the entire ummah, not just one group. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. A good alim, a good scholar, who cares about the welfare of the entire ummah. Entire Muslims and non-Muslims too. And non-Muslims, not just Muslims. We have to care about the humanity. We have to promote humanity. We should not promote one sect. We should promote the entire humanity. What is the best in the interest of the entire humanity? And point number five, before I conclude, we have to always, the ulama of Sunni tradition and Shia tradition, they have to continue their dialogue on regular basis, not once a year, occasionally, whenever there is a bombing or destruction, they get together and they issue statement. No, this is not enough. We need taw'iyah, awareness. And taw'iyah should run on daily basis. So the ulama, the intellectuals of both sides, they have to get together and they have to continue their dialogue to bring awareness to their communities, to their congregations, to encourage their congregations, to tell the Shias to go to the mosques of the Sunnis, to worship with them, to tell the Sunnis to come to the mosques of the Shia to worship with them. This will bring us together. When we visit each other, when we respect each other, when we help each other, definitely we're going to tolerate. Definitely we're going to love each other. And we leave the rest for God. There is a day of judgment. There is God who is there, who is wise, who never discriminates. For everything we do, every belief that you have, there are consequences. We are not the judge. We should not act as judges instead of God, on behalf of God. God appointed no judge here on earth. He says, إِلَى اللَّهِ مَرْجِعُكُمْ فَيُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْ. You're going to stand. All religions, all believers and non-believers, they stand before Him. He is going to say who's right and who's wrong. Our duty is to bring people together. Before I conclude, we have two important events after Ramadan. One of them is the youth camp this year, July 6th through July 9th, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, which is at Camp Nawakwa. Yeah? Nawakwa? Nawakwa near Big Bear, inshallah, Big Bear Lake. It's not too far. So this camp is open for you guys here to come, inshallah, from the age of 15 until the age of 67. And this year it is affordable. It's not very expensive. This year they made it affordable, inshallah, so people can come and enjoy the atmosphere there. And I guarantee once you come there, you will find a spiritual atmosphere. You will find an educational, intellectual discussions in this camp, in this youth retreat. So encourage them to come. And then on July 9th, the Shia Muslim Council of Southern California has an Eid picnic, which is open for all Muslims and non-Muslims. All human beings are welcome to attend July 9th. And again, this year made it accessible to people of Irvine by making it here at William Mason Regional Park. Here, our backyard. I think this direction, yeah, or that direction. Okay? So it begins, inshallah, from 11 a.m. until 7 p.m. You can pick one of these at the door to get the direction and more details. And there are lots of activities for the young ones, for men and women, for all ages, inshallah, they will enjoy. My friends, what I mentioned last night, I repeat tonight too. Zakatul Fitr is $15 per person in the family. And it is for those who are able, those who are not faqir, those who are not below poverty line. Those who are below poverty line, they don't pay, they receive. But those who are not below poverty line, they have to pay $15 per person in the family. The breadwinner of the family is responsible to cover this amount for his wife or her husband and the rest of the family. And you separate that money from, you put it aside on the eve of Eid, the night of Eid. Let's say if the night of Eid is Saturday, you take that money aside, you put it on the day of Eid before the prayers. You put it in the box. Either you give it to the poor people yourself, or if not, then bring it to the masjid, put it in a box here, and we will distribute that. This is regarding Zakatul Fitr. Regarding Eid, Eidul Fitr, Eid most likely is going to be Sunday, but not definitely Sunday. It's pending moon sighting. pending moon sighting, if the moon is sighted, inshallah, Saturday night, in one of the neighboring vicinities and neighboring countries here, whether it's Central America, South America, the Pacific, and we get then reliable news, then Sunday is going to be Eid. If we receive no reports of sighting of the moon, then Sunday is the last day of Ramadan and Monday is going to be the Eid. Are you with me? So it is not definite that Eid is Sunday. It's pending on moon sighting. But inshallah, most likely, we have faith in Allah. Allah will bring unity, inshallah, to this. We're going to celebrate the Eid. If we see the moon or others, they see the moon on Saturday night, then inshallah, Sunday is going to be Eid. And Salatul Eid begins at 8 a.m. sharp. The doors are open probably by 7 a.m. 7:45 takbirat. Takbiratul Eid, which is mustahab. And by 8, inshallah, we're going to do Salatul Eid. And we're going to open this space on Sunday, inshallah. And so men and women, but there are no chairs. Those who pray on chairs, kindly pray outside. Inside, there will be no chairs. Inside, we have to accommodate those who want to bow and prostrate. Those who cannot bow and prostrate, they want to sit on the chair, they are most welcome to come to Salatul Eid, but they sit outside on the chairs, inshallah. Bale. Ina Junab Ali Befarmayid. Yal Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.